Amen. Thank you, Brother Billy. I appreciate that. Someone else? All week this week, I've been praying about what to say today. And there's one word that just kept coming to me. And I tried to just forget it, but you can't hardly forget it when the Lord just keeps telling you that you are an overcomer. And so I want to talk to today, maybe even a few days or a few Sundays, about overcome. And before we get started, while I was praying, the Lord laid this verse on my script, on my heart, and I didn't even, I've got an outline, but it's not in there, so I'm just following the Spirit. But in my prayer, I come to the realization that in 1 John chapter 4, and everything I'm going to be talking about is going to be coming from John, the Apostle John. And he says in chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "Ye are of God. Ye are of God, little children, and you've overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, I can't think of a more positive verse of Scripture to start out with today. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I want to ask you a question. The title of this message is, "We Have or We Shall Overcome." And so today I want to ask you this question. First of all, I want you to take the first part of it. We have overcome. Is that the way you're looking at it today? We have overcome. A lot of people say that we shall overcome. Now, if you think we shall overcome, then I believe you're being just a little bit short-minded. I believe your faith probably needs a little bit of encouragement. Because you see, not only have we overcome, but we have and we shall overcome. Both now and in the future. If Jesus lives in your heart, you've got everything you need. You've got it all. You don't need anything else. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. And He says here, "Ye are of God." And the only reason you're of God is because Jesus lives in your heart. And it says, "If ye are of God," He says, "and have overcome them." Overcome who? Them. Who is them? We go around all the time and say, "Well, they said this, they said this." But you know what? I've never met they. I've never met them. "Well, they said this, or they said that." I'm telling you what the Bible says right here. It says, He says, "You have overcome them." You've overcome this, that, them, everyone. If Jesus lives in your heart. Because He says, greater is He. Greater is God. Greater is Jesus Christ. Greater is the Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of us that are saved by God's grace than he that is in the world. The disciples, 1:10, 16th chapter of the book of John. Turn with us there. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And this is where the Lord brought me to. One day His disciples said unto Him, all the disciples came to Him and they said, "Lo, now speakest Thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb." If there's one thing I want to do, is I want to speak plainly. I want to speak plainly what God has laid upon my heart up for this congregation this morning. And the thing that I want you to understand is even the disciples, they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Would you not speak in a proverb? Will you not speak in a parable? Would you just plainly talk to us for just a moment?" He says, "Now are we sure that Thou knowest?" Now are we sure? You can't. That's not a question. This is a statement. It's not a question. He says, "Now are we sure that Thou knowest all things?" We are absolutely sure you know all things. That's what they're saying. The disciples are saying to Jesus Christ, "We know that you know all things. There's no doubt about it." You got any doubt today? You got any fear? You got anything that's troubling you today? Let me tell you, you are victorious. You are an overcomer. Don't let these things get you down. Listen to what these disciples are saying. We know that, and sure that you know all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. Jesus Christ came from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" I hear that expression quite a bit. Do you believe me now? That's what Jesus said. Do you believe me now? Do you really believe? Do you really believe what we've got here is worth fighting for? Do you really believe that what we have here is worth standing for? Do you really believe that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to save the world? I believe he's even in here right now. Or he's got some demons that want to do everything he can to distract you and me from the truth. He's doing that. So let's just put him on the back burner. That's where he needs to be. Just on the back burner. You've heard that expression? Put him on the back burner. You know what I like to do? I like to give the devil a black eye for that man. I do. You know why? If I'm going to fight anybody, I don't like fighting anybody. I don't like arguing. I don't like it. I'm not that type of person. But you know what? When you push me up into a back corner and you got me where I don't know what else to do, I'm going to come out swinging. And that's what I want to do with the devil today. I want to come out swinging. You know why I want to come out swinging? Because I don't know if I've ever given this expression today or to this church. He reminds us of every bad thing we've ever done in the past. But what I want to do today, you know how to give him a black eye? Remind him of his future. He ain't got much of a future, and I know that's no good English, but I'm telling you, when the devil reminds you of your past or something you have done wrong or something that you should have done and something you didn't do, I'm telling you, we are overcomers because greater is he that is in me. Do you believe me? Jesus asked that question. And I believe Jesus is honest. Do you believe? Do you really believe it? It's one thing to really believe it. It's another thing to really live what you believe. Do we really live what we believe? Now, I'm just saying, I feel like I fall way short. And I'm not here to knock anybody down, including myself. The world is going to do enough of that. We need to come into the house of God, and we need to come in as overcomers because we have. But Jesus said, "Behold." After he said, "Do you now believe?" He said, "Look, take notice. Behold, the hour cometh." Now, how would you like for to ask Jesus to say, "We know that you know all things. We know you know all things. You can do all things. You've never failed us yet." And then he says, "Do you believe?" But then he says, "Behold, the hour is coming." In other words, not only do I know that it's coming, it's coming. He said, "The hour will come that ye shall be scattered." Now, if you want to be overcomer and you know you're going to be scattered, and I mean scattered everywhere, I mean you're just going to be dispersed and scattered everywhere, and you know most of us, if we got any ability to reason within ourselves, we know that we're greater with greater numbers, you see. But he says you're going to be dispersed, you're going to be scattered. But keep in mind, even if you're out there on the Isle of Patmos by yourself, Because that's who he's speaking to. One of us, John. He said, even though you're going to be out there by yourself and scattered, John still reminded himself that greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world. And here he is in exile. But Jesus said, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone. He said, because the Father is with me. He said, if the Father is with me, then he goes on to say, these things have I spoken unto you. He has spoken these things from the very moment that he came into this world as a virgin-born baby until he's getting ready to go and die on the cross of Calvary. He has spoken to them and even of the prophets of old, and even before that he ever came, listen to what he says. He said, these things have I spoken to you that you might have peace. Do you know that's what the Lord wants for every person in this building today? Amen. He wants you to have peace. He says, I want you that you might have peace. Because he said, in the world, in just a few moments of time, we're going to say the last amen and go back out into the world. He said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. That's just a fact of life. We're going to have some tribulation. We're going to have some trouble. We come, we share one another's burdens, we share one another's troubles and tribulations, and we come into the house of God and we say, Lord, would you give me some peace today? I just want to escape. You ever just want to escape? You just want to say, Lord, I need some peace. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord, he's never failed me when I desired to have peace from him. And I'm not talking about peace and salvation. I'm just talking about peace in a troubled, tumultuous world we live in. He said, you're going to have tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Cheer all of my brothers. Cheer all of my sisters. We can come to the house of God. We can sit with Jesus for just a little while. Feast at his table. And we can come in the house of God. We can come in to the church. And we can just be down and out. But I'll tell you, there's been a lot of times I've come in that way, but I left a whole lot better than I came in. I pray that you will today. He says, be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. He said, I have overcome the world. Now that's a message to his disciples. That's a message to us. That's a message to Faith Church. He's overcome the world. He lives within us. Greater is he that is in me than in the world. He said, you, because you have me in your heart, you have overcome them. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. Third chapter. Revelation chapter 3. And I want you to notice some things with me today. I want to turn to the 20th verse of the third chapter. In verses 20, 21, 22. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. How many of you came into the house of God today? You felt the Lord knocking on your heart.
Seems like a lot of times when we come to church, the knock is just real faint. But you know when it's the Lord, you know what He does? Here I am! I was here all the time! Church, He's here! He's here! Why is it? Why is it? I'm not feeling Him. Or am I feeling Him? Or is this warfare going on in this building right now? Jesus says to Faith Church, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if any woman, if any brother, any sister, hear my voice. Is He calling you? Will you open the door? Will you open your door? This is the most important trying to search the right word. Visitor doesn't seem like the word. Guest doesn't seem like the right word. This is the Master of the universe knocking at your heart's door. All He wants to do is be let in. Why are we not letting Him in? Why are you not letting Him in? Why am I not letting Him in? If He's knocking on your heart right now, I'll stop. And I'd much rather give way to Him that He is in His way. Search your heart. Have you overcome? Have you had a victory this week you need to share? Have you been defeated this week, but yet you came today? Praising God, because even though I was defeated this week, even though I got knocked down, even though it seemed like there was nothing going right, I still have a place where He dwells. Where He dwells. Where He wants to be recognized. Where He wants to be. But do you want Him there? Do you want Him here? Jesus says, if you'll just open the door. He said, I will come in unto Him, and I will sup with Him, and He with me. For He says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto what? The churches. What churches is He talking about? He's talking about the seven churches of Asia Minor. And He had a message for every one of them. And every one of those seven churches of Asia Minor were filled with people that had overcome. They were saved. They come to the knowledge of the truth. They understood that with Him all things were possible. And without Him, every one of us. We shall overcome if we allow the one who knocks to lead us, guide us, direct us in all truth. If the Lord will allow me, we're going to talk about these seven churches for just a little while. The first thing I want you to understand is that the first church that he talked about was in the second chapter, and it was the book or church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus was very active. It was sound in doctrine. But there was one thing that she had done. There was one thing that she had allowed herself to get into. And let me tell you right now, folks, we're the ones that allow ourselves to be defeated. God does not want any one of us to be defeated. He wants you to understand that you have overcome. The church in Ephesus had understood that. But she left her first love. She left her first love. What is that first love? My first love was Jesus. We love Him because He first loved me. You love Him because He first loved you. Could it be that first love that He's talking about is that you have turned your back on the One that loves you more than any other being that has ever existed in time? Or could it be the first love of the gospel truth? Ephesus, had you left the gospel truth? Had you left truth, heartfelt repentance? Could it be that? Because the only way that you'll truly know Jesus is through heartfelt repentance. Number two. And if the Lord will let me, I will go back and answer all these questions. Probably not today, but I've got an outline. You can write these things down if you'd like, or you can have an outline of this. The church of Smyrna. That church is full of poor, rich folks. You know that? It was a church full of poor, rich folks. And they were suffering for Jesus. I believe that there are churches that are still suffering for Jesus today. We'll take a little closer look at Smyrna. The third church was Pergamos, or Pergamos, however you want to pronounce it. The thing that Jesus found wrong with that church through John was they followed the false doctrines of so-called preachers. But Jesus knows where Satan sits. He sounds and he seeks to devour. Did you know that? He knows where he's at. He's put him in his place and he will continue to. The church at Thyatira. What was wrong with that church? Jesus found that they were there was a false seducing teacher named Jezebel who was a prophetess. But you know what? If you read that, Jesus even gave her time to repent, and she still wouldn't do it. Sardis. Sardis was that dying church. The church that was dying out. The church that the Lord said she needs to focus on watching and building up the things that remain. And we'll talk about that if the Lord will let us. The church at Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. Out of all the seven to the Master has to be loyal to the one who set up the church. And that set up the church is Jesus Christ, who is the head and founder of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philadelphia, she
kept it pure. She didn't deny the Holy Trinity in any way, shape, or form. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And I guess probably the most talked about of all the seven churches was last one. The church in Laodicea. The church in Laodicea.
Jesus pointed out through John, he said that was a self-satisfied church. Rich in worldly goods and pleasures.
But really is lukewarm.
Lukewarm spiritually, emotionally, and physically. In other words, that was a church that was half-hearted. It was half-hearted full of Christians. And in today's language, it would be a church that was full of half-hearted Baptists.
But a church that has overcome.
A church that has overcome.
What allows us to overcome? It's faith. It's faith in Christ.
Faith allows us to overcome the world. Faith allows us to overcome the things that we're going through.
If you're going through something today, if something is bringing you down, remember that verse of Scripture. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If the Lord will let us, we'll talk about more of those things next week. And I feel like there's something that needs to be said another day. I feel like that maybe I may be standing in the way of someone worshiping the Lord, and I don't want to do that. Maybe it is time for somebody to testify. Maybe you've never testified. Maybe there's something on your heart, a burden that you need to bring and lay it at the altar. Maybe there's a burden that you carry much too long. Maybe that burden needs to be laid on our Savior. We can't carry it. Is there something as the Lord knocks upon your heart today? Don't let me get in His way. Most certainly don't let me get in your way of serving God. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord in a way that He would receive honor and glory and praise. Is there something or something that needs to be said or done today? Not next week. Not 2 weeks from now. Not tomorrow. All we have is right now. Is He knocking on your heart? Let's come to the altar and pray. All that you need.
Because as we sung this morning, Brother Jimmy selected that song, He king evil in our world. Please, Lord, the things that are going on here, and Father, those that have been lost for so long, I pray that you would help us, dear Lord, to know what to say, know what to do, and seek your face. Lord, we just pray that you forgive us of our failures, our sins, our mistakes, and shortcomings. Lord, we've got a revival that's coming up here, Lord, just real soon. And we know that you are in control of all things. And we know Satan's doing all he can to destroy everything that's ever been built up here, Lord, for the past 60 years. He would rather it be destroyed and taken out of this community. A community, dear Father, that's a beacon and a light to all around about us. Lord, we pray that we can lift you up. That people would see, the church would see that you're the most important. That Jesus, you are the one that deserves it all. And that you are the one that is in control. And Lord, I just thank you again for giving us the opportunity to stand again today for you. And Lord, we just pray that the things that you've laid upon our heart, that you'd help us, dear God, to express it the way. Dear Lord, that you would receive the glory and the honor and the praise. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings and ask you, dear Father, that you put down upon those that that are in the midst, Lord, that have not told that they are saved by your grace. I pray that this will be the very hour that we'll hear that they've been saved by your glorious grace. And that, dear Lord, that they would put their light upon the candlestick, Lord, and serve you in the church, Father, because we know that that's where we can draw our strength from you, who is the one that is the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Lead us and guide us and direct us in the furtherance of this service. Forgive us where we have failed you, Lord. Please help us, dear God, and help those round about us, those that are upon our hearts, those that are upon our minds, and those that need divine intervention, our sister churches that are in turmoil. And Lord, I pray that you help them, the missions, the missionaries. I pray for this church, Lord. I pray that you help us, dear God, not to be about your business, dear Lord, and that we would continue in a way that you would be pleased with. Forgive us of our failures, sins, mistakes, and shortcomings, Lord. And I want to give you praise and honor and glory in all things. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
Anybody else have anything on your heart at this time? Anything that needs to be said or done? This May Rain is going on in my mind, and I said, well, no, I'm not going to do it. But that's the Lord wants to do. So, you're here, and you know that you got saved on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, stand up. You don't remember the day it was, but you know you got saved. We say on that great day. And so, those that have truly been saved by God's grace, you know the greater is He that is in you than He that is in this world. Glory, glory,
glory, somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. It was on a Tuesday. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday.
My dad's house. preacher turns on one. They said, you live in this house, you want to have church this on Sunday. I knew what it was going to be. Cross my parents. Come to church. We'll go 5 Sundays. Go to us. Preach for 3 Sundays. And he kept getting stronger and stronger. And the house was full. House was full. And they had a big handshake and piece of credit. And I saw these people got something. I don't have it. And I wanted it. I had a desire for it. And they, I don't remember it. They didn't want to come to me. I thought it was just a nasty kid's mother. Or, I can't think of the other one's name now. They may have come and said something to me. You've been saved? And I said, no. And I was 21. I just turned 21 in March 19th. Able to do it. I was up there, I've been up there 5, 6 times on Sunday straight. And I didn't know what to do. I was talking. I was convicted. I knew I had trouble in theater, but the Lord, my words and my expression in Him, but He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, the desires of our heart. And one Sunday there, I was in the house of Christ, and our best friend had a kid baptized. I thought about this years later, and it felt like somebody had passed by, and I felt a pump of wind. And I raised up, I didn't even raise up out of the hall. I raised up and looked around. Nobody passed on that side. Nobody passed on that side. I'm going to head back down. Well, I don't remember. I realize it now. George Robinson and Neil Massey saw me raise up. And they told me that. They said, you had a big snow up your face and you saw mine. And I got up when I did old one's church over with me. And they are in Sister George Robinson. And I said, son, did you say that while I was there? I said, no, ma'am. Said, did something happen there a while ago? I said, well, yes, ma'am, I got a present. I didn't get saved. He said, well, you got a thing, you got a thing. I said, no, I can't say it. So they bought that. And my dad asked me about it, and I didn't say much about it. And I was proud of this preacher being in the chapel. He was pastoring there. And we went up there to the bay to get a chapel. I would preach to the lost. And I went to the altar. And up there, I came down. Started to pray. I didn't see something wrong. Something wrong with that right. He goes, just put on something. I can't pray. I can't pray for myself. You believe that I said, you got to write something. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I don't know what I'm looking for from what it was. It wasn't. It looked like I had the wrong thing. And you can be afraid about it all week. Well, it took me about Monday or Tuesday. And I started to realize, hey, that was it. Hey, and that was it. And the next Sunday, I went and told you about it. And you know, that house right there. My spirit is made for that. I need absolutely nothing. I need God, Jesus, King. That's all I need.
God bless you, son. We appreciate this. Appreciate your testimony. Someone else?
Brother Spurgeon. I got saved right up there when I was 31 years old. And when I've been seeking for quite a while, and what Sonny said, he didn't, it wasn't what he was expecting. And it wasn't really what I was expecting either. And I kept trying to pray, like you said. There was you couldn't. There were no words. Or don't need to. And it didn't take me a few days. It took a few minutes and I realized it's okay, everything's good now. But I'm right up there where I got to
say. Amen. Bless you, Chair. Appreciate these privileges.
That's quite a freestone. Preventing generation gaps of what we have here. And Brother Jared Reynolds stood up and he asked the question, he said, how many people here got saved 20 years and younger? Almost every hand went up. He said, how about those 20 years and older? There's only three hands that went up. These two were over 20. What's it tell us?
I don't know exactly what night I got saved. I know I went to bed on Tuesday night. And I tried to pray and then I went to sleep. And I had a dream. It woke me up and I just give up. I had prayed so long to be saved, I thought I wasn't ever going to be. And I reckon I got right that night, and I told him, just take me now. And he saved me. And I don't know if it was Wednesday night or, I mean, Thursday night or Wednesday morning, but I got saved that night.
So much like my testimony, sister. Absolutely. So much like it. God knocking on your heart? Are we going to refuse to let him in? Let him be the one who takes over?
Kind of like you find the Lord to pray to me. I was almost 14 years old and I've been doing it all for part of the third year. And I had about lost faith. Lord, I thought he'd lay those faithful for us. I didn't really know if he's saving or not. And I went, that was on a Wednesday night, I went to the altar. Like so many others, say something happened. I didn't tell anybody. And I went back the next night. Lady came and talked to me and I said, I feel like I need to pray. And she said, well, why don't you go on and pray that anyway? So I went up there and there was nothing to pray that. No burden. It was gone.
Yeah.
Well, I did tell it that night. And I'm thankful for that.
Thank you.
When I got married, we moved to Nashville. We thought there was not any old-fashioned churches up here. We waited around about 4 years before we started really looking. I had a little boy, and he was about a year and a half old. I'm thankful that God told me or told us we need to get him to church.
Amen.
And we started looking. And I had a big sign up on the old road at the end of Peachtree Street. And we saw that when we came down here. We didn't know what it would be like, but we found out the first Sunday we came here, they were old fashioned missionary Baptists. Like we wanted to find. Now, I'm so thankful for the people. I just thank sometimes people that were here when we started here. So many of them have come and gone. Not too many of us left, but I'm thankful for the ones that stayed here.
They can
try to carry the church on. There's no words that I could ever express what this church is meant to be. My family. Just pray for us that we'll hold on and do what the Lord wants us to do.
Amen. Precious Sister Mary, we appreciate these words.
saved in my soul. I'm 21. Everybody in this church has heard my testimony many times. And I can't help this morning but think that it was the greatest day of all.
Amen.
The second day was when I got to tell
them. Yeah.
That was amazing. When I came in front of the church and I said, I'm going to be part of this church and I'll be able to tell my testimony. And every time that I think I'll sit down and I'll shut my mouth, I'm reminded of Sweet Chains. You know, I think we've committed in here to even tell the testimony anytime
we're
laying down the car.
Amen.
But it's not easy for him to do that. But I just want to say it. If he lays something on your heart, you've got to do it. You've got to act on that. Because if you don't, you've lost yourself and the blessings and those that are around you have won. So I beg of you, if there's something the Lord wants you to do, please follow Him. And everything will be good because of that.
Amen. Yes, sister. Sandy, appreciate these words. Psalms that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. My God, my Lord, my Redeemer, I may add a little bit more than ever.
I was about right there.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for 3 years before I got saved, and then 3 years after I got saved. The devil had me confused for 3 years. Because I had heard many testimonies that were of people with great joy and happiness and coming up with a smile and laughing. And that wasn't what happened with me. But for me, it was just peace. It was quiet. And I thought there had to be more, but there doesn't have to be more. Peace is all you need. I remember the day that I told my testimony, another girl had just gotten saved, and I remember I felt so different than the last time that I saw somebody get saved too. I wasn't jealous, I wasn't mad, I didn't think that there was something wrong with me, I was just happy for her.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, sister. Beautiful testimony. Anyone else? We've overcome. Don't let me get in your way. Don't let the pastor get in your way. More importantly, don't let anybody quench the Spirit of the Lord. That's a sin. Sometimes it's a mind rushing me. But what I read to you today, he says, I'm the one to give you that peace. He did that. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. In churches, we're going to have tribulation. Be a good cheer. So if you feel down and out today, don't be. God is too good. He is so good. He's still knocking.
Covering heroin. tattoos from his ear to his toenails. Yes, I said, you know, Lord. I wasn't expecting that from that young man. I said, yeah. I said, do you? He said, yeah, he was from New York. Walking down Charlotte Pike. Looking for alcoholics and drug addicts. That's what he was looking for. He wanted to tell him about Jesus. I told him about the little center that was back in the store there. It's a recovery house where they come from meetings. He looked at me and said, did they tell you about Jesus? I said, no. I said, you know, I said, I know several of those people. I said, they have to stop and call the government assistant. They can just tell them it's a higher power. That's as far as they can go. They'll cut your system. He says, I've been through several of those, but he says, until you allow God in your heart,
amen.
You can do it.
Amen.
I really like that young man. I gave him a church card. I said, I don't know how long you're going to be in Nashville, but I love to say we can church. I don't know if you're ever coming. It was a blessing to me. How many people did you meet last week? Do you know the Lord? I'm just having a second. That young man was pretty well Lord. And he had a testimony. There's no doubt in my mind. I told him, I said, yes, but there's a couple of sinners saved by God's grace on Easter. That's exactly right, because I have it in my heart. And he said that, he's good with me.
Amen.
I love this church. Appreciate the love that this church has given me. I love you and Sister Spurgeon. You want to talk to me? We have a lot to do, church. And I need to set a better example. I love you and pray for you.
Bless you, Brother Gates. Appreciate these words very, very much.
As others have said, and now that I got to say, I didn't get what I was expecting. I don't know where I was, but I got peace. I didn't recognize where I was for a while. I thought maybe I was told and yet I got peace.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate this. Thank you.
preached for this sermon, good service. I attended the altar three times. After the church meeting, when I outside with this person, I was calling somebody up there, and he wrote, said to us, somebody said that these people here, a couple of guys, are so hungry to eat them. So sure. So we got the card called Paul Lamb. He said, not as a service. These, all these people are Methodists. He is not a Methodist church. He says, part of life. And I went with him. And Buddy Crouch, Howard Crouch, is you guys. He was a very active Christian, young man. I say that to him. Very, his dad is a Christian. And he started going with me and Paul. And we were together there for about a month or two. And I go to my car to pick him up because Greg was in Brooklyn, carried him up. He came out and said, I just put him up, dropped him off at 7 o'clock. Went back to some point, got it. He said, got a car. Man, I've been awake all night. I'm so terrible. My son is killing me. I thought, what's my plan with these temples and bedbugs? Oh no, it's not there. We got a church. We finished late. They started singing a song. We parked out of the car. We were right behind the church. He walked up to a tree with him and sat down. He was just there in the tree. And he looked off. The Lord has called me three times, and I was coming. By the time I heard my cry, I was going to step in the deep on the back of a little loud house. And when I said, we followed him up there, we stopped outside the door. Well, listen to my little voice. How you boys this morning? I'm doing fine. But this guy here, he's not doing it right. He's been called, he's going to go tell the church. Come on, people. All of it. Come on, man. You can touch it. And Russell walked in that door. And so he put his foot on that inside of the thing. I can't remember the preacher's name. He said, Brother so and so, this man got something to say. And the whole church was, oh, this exploded. This exploded. So don't tell me. I'll tell you. But he made it to the preacher. He didn't have a car. But Paul did. He had a phone somewhere that I carried with my phone. Paul was with his car to be back at church. We were back here there. I really enjoyed going. One day I was carrying him up. This is another thing that taught me something too. I was carrying him up to the park for one of them. He was up in Jackson County. A phone. He said, son, he said, well, now when you go to the world, we're starting this way. So I put up that another shade tree, and I got out more from the road. I got minutes. So I got out of the road, clean the road. I just see nobody. Walk around, try to back up. Get back up. I said, ready to go? Yeah, I'm ready to go now. And he used to help the Lord, sure, before he stepped in that pool pit. And he was a good little preacher. And fell by the wayside too.
Amen. Sure. Hold.
Let's think personally.
Yeah. Oh, anybody feels like they need to come to prayer? You got a song to pick that up, brother?
Number 57. Come
on in.
Precious memory. Thank you.
group when I had prayed one about 3 months and 1 day. We got the book and he was going to do something going on. Come down and I start preaching. He pronounces the church, you're going to have to excuse me, I haven't prayed. He dropped down to his knees down there. And that's what Paul and Buddy would do, because they need the Lord and look at it. They need the Lord, he wasn't ready. He dropped down to his knees. He wouldn't have to die without him. And he preached to the church. Got the Lord step and going through the week. Right where you're at, and let us pray to God for this. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for letting us hear heaven call for your service today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your heritage blessings. We're being here today in our hands. We need us to God's flesh. We thank you for all your testimony from the church today, Lord. We just ask that you have with Father. God is in the very house, the very day. Lord, seek your face. Seek you with all his heart. Believe and know that he is overcome. Lord, by the love of the Lamb, go all the way to the Lord. We pray that you bless the remainder of this service for this day. We pray that you bless Brother Williams for my Lord, that you might anoint him and give him a double portion of your spirit for all the things that we need to hear, and that you might bless these eternal bounties. We thank you again for blessing on high. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings of the words of the things that you bestow upon us, the things that we don't deserve. We ask that you let us start that your sinful station should come. God, keep your way in all ways, Father. Be willing to do the things that you have for us. We pray for conviction for us. Amen. We pray for conviction for those. We pray for conviction for Scott. We pray for conviction for any of those who are not saved. We pray for Sean today. We pray for others. Our own men that need to be saved. And we'll know beyond any shadow of doubt that it's over, his life is over. And we pray that will be in our eternal home. Blessed be the remainder of this day. Give us traveling grace as we're about to depart here in just a little while. And dear Lord, please continue to bless Faith Church. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge and spiritual understanding, Lord, and give way to the leadership of the Holy Spirit each and every time we assemble ourselves. We thank you for your great love, wherewith that you loved us. Even before we loved you, and you still love us. We're so thankful for that. Please, God, help us and help these little children, dear Lord, that when they reach that age, when they realize they're lost, that they'll simply be saved immediately and not delay to go out into this sin cursed world full of trouble. And Lord, pray for all of our young people. Pray for us that are older, that we'll be about your business. Lead us and guide us and direct us, and thank you again for being here today and for what we feel in our heart. Thank you again, and God bless. And we ask all these prayers and blessings in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Anything else on anyone's heart? If not, we'll just consider ourselves dismissed. We'll be back this evening. And come back again, please pray for us.